Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You might have seen the headline floating around social media about the Vatican's new Secretary of State making some statements in European newspapers, or being quoted in European newspapers, as kind of backing off on priestly celibacy. It's widely known that the Roman Catholic Church has a practice of priestly celibacy. Is it a doctrine? Is it a dogma? Is it an institution? Is it unchangeable? A lot of the press that you may have been reading says, well, maybe it is. And it's part of a broader push on the part of the press, not uniform, but many papers in the West trying to understand this new papacy, trying to understand this new pope, and hoping against hope that he's somehow going to be less than Catholic. Joining us to talk about some recent comments made by the Vatican's new Secretary of State about clerical celibacy, Dr. Roland Ziegler. He's Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Ziegler, welcome back.
Hello to you, Todd, and thanks for having me on the show.
This is what Archbishop Pietro Parolin had to say in part. He said, celibacy is not an institution, but it is also true that you can discuss it because you say this is not a dogma of the church. Does this represent a change or some sort of trial balloon for a change in the Roman Catholic practice of celibacy, do you think?
That's a difficult question to answer. I mean, formally it doesn't constitute a change, because the Roman Catholic Church has never claimed that clerical celibacy is a dogma of the church. It always said this is a law of the church. It is for the good of the priests and also of the people, but it's not a dogma. In that sense, it can be changed. Now, of course, it's another thing. Why does he say it now? Why does he bring that up? I mean, as you say, is that a trial balloon? Are there thoughts in the Vatican about actually changing the practice, which would be a massive change? Or is that just something for other reasons? We don't know much about the interior workings of the Vatican, and so we have all these guesses now, of course.
So just to make that distinction for us, historically, how did the practice of priestly celibacy develop? And how is it different than, say, a teaching that is regarded or a practice that is regarded as dogma in the church?
A dogma is something that is given with the revelation of God and which is unchangeable. Dogmas cannot change. Now, the question of clerical celibacy, or the celibacy of priests, though, is something that came into being in the Western Church during the first 1,000 years and has been the universal practice in the Western Church for about 1,000 years. There are churches that are united with Rome, the Eastern Union churches, that have priests that are married. So even now you have priests that are under the authority of the Pope and are married, because the Eastern churches have a different canon law. There's a question of canon law. So a dogma cannot change. Let's say that we say that Jesus is true God and true man. That is not up, can never be up for discussion. But these are questions of discipline and canon law, and that can change.
What was the rationale, if you could kind of condense it down for us, that led to the medieval church, or the church at in and around 1000 AD, to finally say our priests ought to remain celibate and unmarried?
There is the idea that the priest should dedicate himself completely and fully to God, and that any family involvement would be a competition for that. And this is an argument that has been repeated over and over again. For example, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the current one, says that normally, ordinarily, doesn't say only, but ordinarily, only men who live a celibate life and who intend to remain celibate for the sake of the kingdom of heaven are ordained, called to consecrate themselves with undivided heart to the Lord and to the affairs of the Lord. They give themselves entirely to God and to men. So this was the theological rationale, complete dedication towards God. There were also practical aspects. There was also aspects that a priest who would celebrate Mass every day and would commune every day, that he should also then abstain from marital relations. And if you do that daily, then you can't be married. That might be a different point, too. But the theological idea is that it's a complete dedication to the kingdom and that this competes with family life.
I know that the marriage of priests is a subject that is taken up not so much in passing, but as a subject at the time of the Reformation by the Lutheran reformers. What do the Lutheran confessions have to say about the marriage of priests?
The confessions, the Augsburg Confession has actually an entire article and then also the apology, because this was, of course, a huge topic, because this was a huge change. Celibacy did not work out that well, let's put it this way. The Roman Church says, well, God calls into the priesthood, and then he also gives the gift of celibacy. And that junctum, that simply doesn't work, and I think it's also not true. To be called to the office and to be called to celibacy or to have the gift of continence, that doesn't work. So the reformers said that actually the law of celibacy, as they say, that's in Article 23 of the Augsburg Confession, that it conflicts with divine and natural law. It conflicts with the very canons of the councils, saying that there were previous councils of the church. And it also it's also apparent that it is superstitious and dangerous because it produces endless scandals. So they said, no, we are created as male and female. It is in our God gave us such a nature that except for extraordinary circumstances, we cannot live chastely and be single. The tradition of the church is not unanimous on that, and it is detrimental to the life of the church because it creates scandals by priests that cannot live celibate and chastely.
So essentially, the reaction of the reformers is that of the apostle. It is better to marry than to burn.
Right, right. And in 1 Corinthians 7, and that was a passage that was quoted often to say, again, to say that when you get a call or when you get called to the office, that you also have the gift of continence is a statement that the scriptures do not make. This connection is by the authority of the church. So in all of that is also the question, what authority does the church have? What additional requirements can it make beyond the word of God?
So it's a part of a bigger issue for the reformers. One is, if we are going to have a practice, it ought to have a clear teaching in Scripture, and two, to clear up the abuses that came to surround the problems with priestly celibacy.
Right. It's again a question of how does the church follow the word of God, or does the church have some kind of a license to add on to the word of God? So for the reformers, it was not just a practical problem, but it was also a problem that showed that the hierarchy of the church leadership, had overstepped the mandate it has from God and has instituted laws beyond and above the word of God, and thereby has usurped an authority it does not have.
So two final questions for you, real quickly. Should, and this is a big if it is in fact a possibility that the Vatican is saying, well, let's rethink kind of the hard and fast discipline rule, so to speak, of priestly celibacy, or be willing to exercise some exceptions to it, should we, in the spirit of the Reformation, applaud such a rethinking on their part?
I think we should. I think that would be a step in the right way. And it might be that the lack of priests might actually force the Roman Catholic Church to rethink that. The law of celibacy is an unjust law, and it would be a good step if it would be abolished.
And if, on the other hand, if someone says, I wish to be celibate. This is my desire to be celibate and to dedicate myself entirely to the service of God through his church in the ministry. What would our reaction be?
We would say this is great that God has given you that gift. And I mean, there are also pastors in the Lutheran church who are not married, and that's fine. And they can they dedicate them more time maybe to the ministry, and that's fine. We do not say that everybody must get married. It's the ordinary case. It's how, in regard to how we are made up, so to speak, how we are created by God. But if somebody can live a chaste life as a single man and serve the Lord as a pastor, that's great. The confessions even say that this is better.
Finally, before we let you go, Dr. Ziegler, you serve as an associate professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Tell our listeners, why should a man or a woman listening consider the vocation of either pastor or deaconess?
Because it's a great thing to serve God as a pastor or as a deaconess. It's a great thing to preach the gospel and minister the sacraments and bring forgiveness of sins and eternal life to people. It's a great thing to serve as a deaconess embodying the love of God in the specific office. So this is something that God has instituted that is necessary for his church, the office of the ministry, and therefore I would encourage everybody who can do it and feels drawn to it to really consider coming to the seminary.
Folks, I can no more highly recommend a person who is considering, either as a man the vocation of pastor or as a woman the vocation of deaconess, a visit to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit this campus. You will be hooked. You will be convinced. There is an opportunity to do so less than 2 weeks from now. That's in October 10th through the 12th. It's called Prayerfully Consider a Campus Visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more about this on-campus visit called Prayerfully Consider at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Dr. Ziegler, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some common objections raised in conversations between Christians and Muslims and how to respond. David Wood will be our guest.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, presents a new book of essays in honor of Daniel Preuss. It's titled Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. This new hardcover book will be out in November and features essays from Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Scott Murray, David Scare, and others. You can save $10 by advance ordering in August or $5 by pre-ordering in September. Check out Proper Christum, Christ at the Center at shop.logia.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.